Hey everyone, this is Ellie Augsburger from The Animator Life. Thanks for tuning in.
And this is Nick. I haven't had any sleep.
Your intros get more entertaining each time we do this. I swear they do. Why don't you tell everyone why you don't have any sleep?
Before I do that, I can't keep adding to it every time though, because then I'm going to run myself out of ideas on how to improve it. I'm already, like, the reason that we got the one that we got today is because I haven't slept. That's because I'm doing my new assignment at AM, Animation Mentor Class 5. I am an absolute masochist, but I love it.
Who doesn't love it? I kind of miss Animation Mentor, to be honest with you. I think it really pushed me.
No, yeah.
And it really motivated me. My biggest struggle right now is motivating myself.
Oh, you have no idea. Like, honestly, like, this is a very pricey move to make for that exact same logic. But I was like, even though I've got a job now and I'm animating, and it was just like, you know what? I miss Animation Mentor, and I feel like I want some more practice, and I want to get better at acting. So I was like, you know what? I've got some savings. I miss it. Everyone I know is in it. I'm going back to AM. So I bit the bullet, and I went back to AM.
Yeah, a friend of mine is doing the Creatures class. Actually, it's Christopher Curry. He was on here on our last... whatever one it was, the 4th of July, the America episode. He's doing the Creatures class, and he's been telling us about it, and it sounds really, really cool. And I'm like, I kind of want to take it.
Yeah.
But I've hit this interesting phenomenon where, for the longest time, I didn't get any feedback on my reel except, hey, looks good, you obviously understand the principles, blah, 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 we're just not looking for someone at this time. That's all I heard.
Yeah.
Was, you know, good comments, and it was just, like, banging my head against the wall. Why am I not... This is not constructive. If my reel was good, they would have, like, given me something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for the past couple months, I've actually been getting a lot of really good feedback from some pros, and they all give me the same one, which is my characters look like puppets and not people. Like, you can see the rig in them, and they don't look like they're thinking themselves. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, crap. That was...
Because now that you say it, I see it. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you've got one exception, and it's this one shot. You're like, that's solid. But you need more like that. And I was like, oh. And so I was telling my friends about it, and my friend Stephanie, bless her heart, was like, yeah, actually I've been seeing that, and I've been wanting to say something for a long time, because I was sitting there frustrated, because I wish somebody had said that while I was working on the shots.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would be easier to get that in there in the blocking, and I'm like, oh, Steph, why are you telling me now?
You let me down, girl.
So...
You let me down. You had one job. You failed.
Yeah, so. And she's just a really nice person. And she's like, well, I didn't want you to get upset. And I was like, oh, no. Are you kidding me?
I'm upset now.
The things, like, okay, you freelance for a month, you'll get a really thick skin. Even if you thought you already had one, working with people who don't know how to critique, you can take anything. I've had people say some awful things to me, and it's like, I can take anything now. So.
That's great.
So I miss AM, so I'm really jealous.
Yeah, I'm super glad that I went back. I've got, his name is Bula Robello, and I was between him and Steve Cady, and then I was like, alright, I know Steve Cady, I've got Kim and Catherine, my friends, that are in there right now. They really like him, so I looked at both of their critiques, and I was like, you know what? I feel like Steve Cady focuses a little bit more on the physical stuff, because he's done games and creatures before. I feel like Bula focuses a little bit more on the acting, so I think I'm gonna go with Bula on this one, and I'm really glad I did. He's super hard. Like, he's really good. He's very tough. But, no, he's really good. I really like him.
You know what's something I did, too? Because I was having problems. I failed class 4 the first time I took it. Well, I mean, I didn't fail it. I got a C-, which means you don't pass either. and that ended up, as devastating as it was, it ended up being, like, one of the best things for me. Because I ended up meeting Mike Stern. He was my mentor when I retook the class. And he is just fantastic. But I ended up calling the school because I didn't know what to do because registration was closed and we needed to fit me in somewhere. And Catherine at the school, I don't think she's still there.
Kathleen, you mean?
She might be gone.
Catherine?
Yeah, it might be Kathleen, but...
Yeah, she's the older lady?
I only talk to her on the phone. she talked to me about my learning style and, like, why I thought I didn't do well in class for the first time. And she's like, this guy's class is full, but he's really good, and I think that you would learn better under his teaching style than if you took somebody else's. Because she's like, I don't think the problem's you. I think the problem was the teaching style didn't meet with your learning style. So that's something you could do when you're taking your next class. You could call and talk to them and see what they think. Because they also get the feedback from students.
Wow, I didn't know that they got that into it. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason I think they get the feedback from the students.
That makes a lot of sense.
Is so that they can do that if you really need to. So, I'm sorry, AM, if you get inundated with a million calls.
Sorry, not sorry.
People asking, like, place me in a class, please.
Sorry, not sorry.
But yeah, that ended up being, like, one of my most... Like, I advanced a lot. Like, if you look at my shots before I took class 4 with Mike Stern to after I was done, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, a million times better, so...
Yeah, I'm seriously hoping I get a million times better... I don't want puppets, I want people.
you know what? You just gotta press the suck less button on your keyboard.
You know,
it's right next to the animate button.
My keyboard. I knew it.
It's right next to the animate button.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
I knew I was missing something.
Yeah, my big problem right now is self-motivation. Like, I wanna start working on the I think instead of trying to dive into a big acting shot again, I need to go back and, like, do some of the basics. So I'm going to do the...
You're going to do the...
51 exercises. Yeah. And I did start a couple of them, but, I mean, nothing worth putting on a thing, because it's still, like, the ball bounce stuff.
No, you know what?
But
no.
I am...
No, I was going to say, now that you've said it on the podcast, I expect to see these, and anyone listening expects to see them on the blog.
Yeah.
You got to prove that you're doing them.
Not gonna post a bunch of ball bounces. I did the I posted the first two I did, and I was like, this is, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. No, but when I start getting to character stuff, then I'll start posting them.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping to do. I'm going on vacation next week. I'm just gonna go chill in a cottage, and I'm thinking I'm going to animate while I'm there too. So it's like, I'll have a week of nothing to do. This has not happened to me in so long.
I have so many things to do.
So what's your shot about? Like, you're in acting, right?
Yeah, so the assignment itself is to choose a dialogue piece. I think the specifications were between 15 and 25 seconds.
Oh my gosh, that long?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the whole thing is you're going to take the whole 12-week class to work on this sequence, and it's got to be 4 to 6 shots, full character interaction. You got to do...
They've really changed the class.
Oh, really? I have no idea what it was when you did it. But it's all static cams, and you do 4 to 6 shots with both characters.
It was 10 to 15 seconds with a minimum of 2 characters interacting with each other, and... Actually, I don't think you could do more than 2 characters unless you had special exception.
Yeah, they don't want you to do more than 2.
You only had to change the camera once.
Really?
Yeah. So, that's a huge change. Huge.
Well.
Huge change. And I'm remembering my shot and how many times I had to re-block it. And I don't know if I could have handled...
Well, I just finished...
25 seconds.
Yeah, we just finished, quote-unquote, blocking plus. So, that's what I just submitted. What's up?
For one of the 4 shots?
No,
or
no,
for
no,
all
for the whole
the shots?
Sequence. That's the other thing about Bula.
I think they're trying to kill you.
No, no, no,
I think
no, that's the other thing. No, that's the other thing about Bula, though, is, like, the assignments themselves say, you know, all right, take one of the shots out of blocking this week and put it into splines. Bula's like, no, no, no. If you were at a real studio, you're going to have 6 weeks, or 6 shots. you have X amount of time to get all 6 shots done, and you have to be working on all of them. So each week, I'm going to grade you on putting effort into each shot. I was like,
okay. But that just seems unrealistic. That just seems unrealistic because that's assuming you can put in as much time as a pro can. You know, animation mentor is supposed to be flexible enough that you can do it while having a job and a life.
No. It all depends on what you do. Like, I'm just a masochist and ended up making way more work for myself, as I am always want to do, somehow. I don't know how this always happens. Every single time. It's ridiculous.
See, when I took it, it was blocking for one shot at a time. So while you were doing blocking for one shot, you also had to do the blocking plus for the other one from the week before. So you weren't, it was like staggered a little bit. And then a lot of it too was how much you sat down with your mentor, and your mentor would kind of determine your schedule based on your need. Like my particular need was a lot of reblocking for one shot. She's like, shot one and shot two are solid. Don't change them. Shot this third one. This is the one you're going to be working on all term. So, and it did. Like, I hate it so much. Well, I mean, it's a really good shot. The whole thing overall is really good. But just, I like, every time I look at that one piece that I had to redo and over again, it's like, I'm looking at it going, I should just redo it again for, like, the 30th time.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like I could never get it quite right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I've got, and lucky me. So the first week is you just pick 3 dialogue pieces, and then the mentor will pick for you which one to do of the 3. And Bula was like, "All right, pick 3. Chances are I won't like more than one of them, and I'll give you a clear-cut answer." I was like, "Awesome! I've got 3 dialogue pieces I really like. I can't decide. Here you go." And I do, he does the critique, and he's like, "Alright, I really like 2 of these. You can pick." I was like, "Crap!" So then I'm...
Which one did you settle on?
So I was asking, like, I asked Steve, actually. I messaged him, and I was like, "Hey, man, I know you're busy, but can you help me pick out one of these things?" And he was like, "Alright, you've got 2 from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's way too recognizable, so obviously go with the other one." I was like, "Okay." And then, like, a few other people were like, "Yeah, I kind of like this one too." I was like, "All right, so I'm gonna go with the more serious one that's longer and more acting." Awesome. And the only reason I ended up choosing it is, well, not the only reason, but like, I really do think that the acting itself, if I do it right, is gonna be way stronger in this dialogue piece. So the dialogue piece itself is. And I'm going to say this on the podcast because it's super funny, but it's from one of the Netflix shows called Scrotal Recall, and it's awesome.
Oh my goodness, I just love that title.
No, yeah, it's a very interesting show. It's only 6 episodes, which is really weird, but anyway, there's a phone conversation in, I think it was the first episode, where he calls this girl that he met, like, 3 years ago. He finally calls her back, and, you know, she's kind of giving him crap for it, and he's just like, "Hey, would you want to meet up?" And he gets really awkward about it and starts fumbling around and messes up, and he just goes, I'm pretty bad at the phone." And she just goes, "I believe you, but yeah, we can meet." And he's just like, "All right." So that's my shot. You've got a guy getting a phone call from a girl, he asks the girl out, fumbles, gets really awkward, girl laughs and thinks it's cute, says yes, and then he's like, "All right, we're gonna go out." Cool.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. You should post it so that people can see it, or else they won't believe you're doing it.
I mean, it's ready. You can post it wherever you want.
Well, I think this brings us to, this is a good time to switch to our next topic. We decided to talk about animation that always gives us the feels. Makes us cry, makes us feel something, like, sad or nostalgic. Like, just, like, whatever, like, just that feeling that you get when you get gut punched in the feels. And it's different for everybody.
Gut punched in the feels.
Like, I am 27 years old. And so old. I still cry every time Mufasa dies.
Really?
And, like, Simba is going up there going, Dad! Dad, wake up! And, like, Scar comes out and convinces him it was his fault. I lose it every time. Every stinking time. I am just, like, I'm just sitting there in my tears, just, like, hiccuping, like... Mufasa died. No. And I swear to God, Nick, if you make me say spoiler alert to any of this, I'm going to lose my mind. If I have to say spoiler alert, Mufasa dies, then you are listening to the wrong podcast if you haven't seen Hamlet with lions.
I mean, you've already done it at this point.
I'm just saying that I'm refusing to do it from this point onward, and it is not my fault.
Hey, look, the fact that you have to physically stop yourself from going forward to make this point means that my job is done.
No, yeah, because you just give me this look every time I say something. It's like, like the ship sinks at the end of Titanic. You should already know that going into the movie. It's the Titanic. You know, and like, I don't like giving out spoilers, but I feel like anything older than 5 years, or anything that's been, like, all over the internet, you should know by now. Like, if you're a Game of Thrones fan and you don't know what happens at the Red Wedding and what it is, I can't help you. Like, I'm sorry, you should know this by now. It's huge. I mean, it's like not knowing that Donald Trump is running for president.
I actually didn't know that until you said it, so.
Where have you been for, like, the past month?
Are you kidding me? I literally go to work, come home, work on homework, and go to sleep. And then I wake up and do it again. Like, that's all I do.
Do you never get on the internet or, I don't, like, listen to the radio
TV? I don't ever listen to the radio.
Or talk to people?
TV doesn't get turned on very often. And I go on the internet, but I go to the same sites and I don't ever look around anywhere half the time.
I can't help you. I can't help you.
There's never going to be help for me.
January 2017 runs around and you're just going to be like, why is Donald Trump being sworn in as our president? Like, what happened?
I'm just going to be like, SMH, SMH, SMH.
Okay. So what's something that always gets you going? I know you said you don't cry, you just get dust in your eye, which I feel like is a very manly cliche.
I've never used that saying in my life.
My dad uses that, my husband uses that, my brother uses that. Like, I feel like almost every guy very close to me has used that. I'm not crying, I just got something in my eye. It's dusty in here.
No, look,
there's something wrong with my contact.
No, if it's something legit enough to make me cry, I'll tell you. Like, I'll tell you if it ever happens. It just takes
I would suggest you watch Field of Dreams, but, you know, it was made in 1988, and that's probably too old for you.
I mean, it's older than
me. Also, it doesn't have... Oh, but it does kind of have CGI in it.
Oh, God.
It has special effects. No, it doesn't have CGI, but it has some pretty sweet special effects.
You know what? You know what movie made me feel feels? Since we're on the topic of older movies, What Dreams May Come. That one made me feel feels. Robin Williams one. It was a live action one.
That's not even that old! That came out in the mid-90s!
I said older. Look, that was before I really understood what movies were, okay?
Oh my gosh.
I was little.
You're making me feel old again. You're making me feel old again. Because to me, an older movie is anything older than me.
Well, the one that you just mentioned older than me.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that you could... What Dreams May Come is not older than
no,
me.
No, it's not older than me. I just said it was an older movie.
That's nice.
Anyway, I put on Tarzan last night while I was working, and that movie makes me feel feels. I love that movie.
It's really Phil Collins that sets the mood so well.
You know what?
You'll be in my heart. Always makes me choke. I am such a sappy person.
You know what? You know what? I might not cry, but I'm a super sappy person too. I really am. And no, You'll Be in My Heart is legitimately in my top 10 favorite songs, like, ever. Like, I love that song.
I will be honest, I used to never really cry. And even now, I get embarrassed about doing it in public, so I usually just cry. Like, if I'm going to watch something that I know is going to tear me up, like Schindler's List or something like that, I do it at home in private. but, like, and I used to never cry at anything. And my mom almost died right before I graduated high school, and it was this huge thing. She had a life-saving liver transplant, but I mean, she got sick so fast that she needed it really fast. She was only on the list for a couple of days before she got called into the hospital, and then when she came home, she was in and out. And it's like, since then, like, I don't know, it's like I don't feel the need to hide from my emotions anymore, and things just touch me more deeply. Does that make sense? I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's like, and I think that's part of the reason the idea of, like, Mufasa dying and losing a parent and not understanding is because, you know, like, I was 17 going on 18, and my mom was, like, my mom was so sick, she doesn't even remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because she was just so out of it. And she's like, well, you tell me these things, and I just don't remember that at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go that route, I've got a similar story, only it's, what do you call it? It's similar, but I guess it's the opposite, where I was the one in the hospital, and my mom was the one watching. So, I had that happen. So, like,
Did she put her arm through the bars and, like, scoop you up and sing Baby of Mine? While you had, like, big fat tear running down your... I'm sorry. No. I'm thinking of Dumbo. Okay, so Dumbo is another one of those movies that... I remember going back and watching it, and I was surprised how short it was. And then it's like, oh, well, they made it during World War II, so that makes sense, too, because a lot of that stuff was shorter. And Baby of Mine came... Oh my god, I lost it. I had to pause the movie and I was just crying. And I have like a little stuffed Dumbo because I love elephants, and so I was holding that and I was just like, oh my god, it's so beautiful. And, you know, I was just thinking about all these other things. I was thinking of a story that Peter Zohn told at the Ottawa Animation Festival a long time ago about how his mom didn't speak English well, and he went to go see Dumbo with his mom as a kid, and his mom didn't really understand everything was going on, but that scene where Mrs. Jumbo is singing Baby of Mine made his mother cry because some things transcend actual words.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that moment is what made him want to become an animator. That's awesome. And so I was thinking of that, and then a couple months after that, my brother gets married, my twin brother. And what song does he dance with my mom to at his wedding reception? Baby of Mine. So I am sitting at my brother's reception, like, bawling my eyes out, and my husband's like, is this because this is, like, such an emotional occasion, or is it because of the song? And I was like, would you think less of me if I said both? But a lot of it's the song. And I'm picturing the scene from Dumbo. He goes, I might think a little less of you. And just a little. Just a little.
That's great.
So, yeah. I don't know. I feel like a lot of animation, it just really hits you. Now, here's something that hit me in the feels but didn't make me cry. It was just like a really, like, awe-inspiring moment. In How to Train Your Dragon 2, when Hiccup wakes up and sees he doesn't have his leg. Like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to describe,
wait, in the,
like,
first
the emotion
one,
I had.
Or the second one?
Yeah.
Oh, you said...
In the first one.
Oh, I thought you said
How
two.
To Train Your Dragon.
Okay. Alright.
I don't know, I might have said two. We'll have to consult the tape later. I mean the first one, whichever one I said. But just, like, how they captured the look on his face, and then how he came out so bravely without his leg and stuff. And I don't know, it was just something about that moment that just kind of was, like, I was in awe of it. Mm-hmm. And even though I know it's coming, I'm still looking forward to it, going, whoa, that is such a powerful moment. It just hits you.
Yeah.
So.
I'll say...
What about you?
Very recently, when I went and watched Inside Out, I don't know... It was just the shot itself and just the way that it was framed and everything. But at the very end, when after Riley breaks down and she's like, her dad is like holding her, and then you just see that shot. I don't know if you would consider it an over the shot
of her head over her shoulder.
Yeah, but it's just the close up of her, and you see like the expression change on her face afterwards. I was just like, oh, I feel it.
Oh, that's some beautiful acting.
There it is.
Oh, Inside Out. Okay, this one I will say spoiler alert on. Inside Out with Bing Bong.
Oh, yeah.
When he gets forgotten. Like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is so sad. No, but I did hear a wonderful fan theory about this that I will share with you. Oh, and boy. That Bing Bong wasn't necessarily imaginary friend. He is real. But that he was Riley's monster. Because you know how at the end at Monsters, Inc., they're happy monsters to get laughter and things?
Okay.
They think the theory says that Bing Bong visited Riley to make her laugh. And that she kept him around in her imagination to play with him even when he wasn't around. So even though Bing Bong is dead in her imagination... he's still real somewhere in the Pixar universe.
That's...
And I was like, that makes me feel so much closure. It's so much better.
That's a...
I was like, oh.
That's a reaching theory.
No, that's not reaching. That's not very far-fetched at all.
No, I mean, like, that's...
I think...
all things...
It's not as reaching as the one that they're all connected.
Oh, the Pixar theory? I love reading
that
thing,
though. Yeah, we should talk about... We should talk about that in another episode and explain it. That would be a fun episode to discuss.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Somebody also drew Bing Bong in Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
I could see that. That's for sure.
Yeah. That was pretty cute. I liked that. You know what's another spot that always gets me? And I actually have a memory to go along with it. When Mulan came out into theaters...
Mm-hmm.
It kind of wasn't advertised. Like, we didn't know... Growing up, we didn't know anything about it. And so it just kind of came out on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents saw it and was like, there's a Disney movie that we didn't know anything about? And because my parents love Disney movies, too. I mean, it's not just me. My parents even go see them by themselves on dates.
Yeah.
And watch them at home all the time because they're just great. And... they've also expanded into DreamWorks and Blue Sky and stuff too, which makes me so happy. But they went out and bought Mulan, and we were sitting on the couch watching it and spread out in our living room. And at the end of the movie, when Mulan comes home and is like presenting her father with all these things, like, be proud of me because I brought all these honors on our family, and I did this because I want you to be proud of me, kind of thing is what she's saying with that.
And the greatest gift and honor is having you for a daughter.
Oh my gosh. my dad reached over and gave me a hug, and he like kissed the top of my head. He goes, that man said it better than I could. And I started tearing up, and my dad and I are having this beautiful moment. My mom's looking over at us all teary-eyed, and then my two brothers are like sitting on the floor looking at us going, what the hell is the matter with you guys? Like, why is this so emotional for you? Because I was like, I don't know, I was like 12 maybe when that movie came out, 11?
Yeah.
So my mom was just like, you know, you either have to be a daddy's girl or have a little girl to understand what's going on here, because this might just be beyond you.
Yeah.
But oh, I remember my dad very clearly, like, kissing me on the top of the head. So now every time I watch Mulan, I, like, tear up, and I call my dad after, and I was like, I just watched Mulan, and I was thinking of you. I just want to say I love you.
That's great.
Yeah.
the feels.
But a lot of, yeah, a lot of times I just get hit in the feels because it reminds, like, I get nostalgic.
Oh!
Like, Beauty and the Beast, there's nothing really sad or, like, super touching about that movie.
Yeah.
But I get all choked up because it reminds me of my childhood, because I think I've touched on it before. My level of obsession with that movie is real.
No, yeah. You are obsessed. There is no other word for it.
I'll have to, like, catalog all my Beauty and the Beast stuff. And
no, because then, like, you'll just start to feel bad. You'll realize how bad it is, and then you'll just be like, oh my gosh, I need to do something about this.
I need more.
I know. I had to tell my mom. I was like, all right, I have enough Minion and Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, so I don't need any more stuff like that. And she goes, but you were so easy to get things for.
I know.
I was like, I'm aware, but you're going to have to cut it off.
I was just having lunch with a friend of mine earlier, and I was telling him that I bought one of those Pop figurines, you know, from, I think they're called Funko.
Yeah, the Funko Pops.
I bought a Peasant Belle one, and I bought a Carl from Up one, because I was really excited because of the Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I can add this to my Beauty and the Beast collection. He's like, I knew you were a fan, but I didn't think you had, like, a collection of stuff. And I was like, I hide my collectibles so that people don't buy me a lot. Because I hate dusting. And I'm a little bit ashamed about my collection.
Oh, I'm not ashamed. One day, whenever I have a house, I'm going to have a curio cabinet or two, just with, like, all my stuff in it. That's my goal.
I'm thinking I'm probably going to end up having a home office, and it's going to have all my animation stuff displayed in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I've got, like, a nice little collection of toys on my desk at work.
Oh, so. Yeah, me too. Oh, but you reminded me, since we're talking about animation and feeling the feels, so... our lecture last week, Bula was showing us an old video about the creation of Tarzan, and it had Glenn Keane talking about, you know, how they ended up developing the animation style for Tarzan, but it was the whole purpose of the video was about animating, like, what was the word? The sincerity of the character, right? And how you know, the acting, selling the acting, and, you know, that you're taking experiences from your own life and putting it, you know, how would a character act like this? Well, it was kind of like when I went through this. So this goes along with what you were saying about Mulan, because Glenn Keane was talking about when he was animating the scene, I think it was when he sees Jane for the first time and he realizes, you know, that they're alike. And he was like, the way that it was, you know, Tarzan was looking at it, it was like, you know, all of a sudden he's realizing what he's seeing, and it's really hitting him. And apparently, like, he looked over at Claire, and was just, you know, his daughter, and was just like, I was thinking of the first time that I saw you when I animated this scene.
Oh my god.
I know. No. Yeah. Like, we were in class, and, like, we were watching this video, and I heard Glenn Keane say that, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm feeling it right now. Because,
oh my,
like,
god,
you could, you're
so,
looking,
I'm like,
at,
I'm seriously tearing up right now.
No,
that's so beautiful.
No, I thought that was amazing. So I was like, that's beautiful. And, like, we're looking at the pencil tests of the shot, like, as he's saying this. I was like, man, if I was a girl, I'd be in tears right now. I was like, this is insane.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to say this. There is nothing specifically girly about crying or tears.
No, there isn't. I know.
You can be a man and still cry and have feels.
Hey, I have
feels
all the time.
That's just when you get dust in your eye. That's just when you get dust in your eye or something's wrong with your contacts.
Hey, I feel more feels than most guys. I just don't cry. But I feel feels, trust me.
Oh, you know what gets me every time is the ending of Monsters, Inc. Like, when he opens the door and you just see his face light up and you hear Boo go, Kitty! And that's how they end it. And I was like, oh, that's the perfect ending, because the 5 minutes before that, you're heartbroken because Sully's so sad. And then you get to the end and it's just like this overwhelming sense of joy.
Yeah.
Also, Can we just address the first 5 minutes of Up? Not even the first 5 minutes of Up. The whole thing with Up. You get through the first 5 minutes and you calm down, and then 10 minutes goes by and they hit you with something else and you're crying again.
I think that the opening I think that the opening montage for Up is still one of the best sequences in cinema. Like, I think it is.
They tell the most perfect love story, and it's just, it is, it's just beyond beautiful.
They don't need words, they only need visuals and sound. Like, that's all they need. That's all you ever need, half the time anyway. Like, if you can tell a full story just with no words and just sounds and visuals, it's successful. Like, there's, hands down, it's successful.
And at the end of the movie, when Carl gives Russell the Ellie badge and says, "This is the greatest honor I could ever bestow on," like, you can hear my voice cracking, I'm sorry. the struggle is real. Like, I try to convince Carl to watch that movie every year with me on our anniversary, and he's like, I can't do it. It's too hard. I don't like crying in front of you. I can't do it. So we do watch it every now and then, but, like, seriously, I can't, like, it's what, sometimes you get desensitized to things. Like, the first time you watch a horror movie, sometimes the second time you're not scared. You know, or the first time you watch, like, a tearjerker, the next time you watch it, it's not as sad, because you're expecting it. And it's like, I know it's coming, so I start crying in anticipation, because I know it's coming. You know what I mean? And it's like, to me, I can't imagine Pixar ever topping Up. Well, I really can't. I have a hard time with it, because it's just so... It's beautiful, it's funny, it's intelligent, it's imaginative, and just the love story there. Like, even though Carl and I are named Carl and Ellie, and Carl's, you know, kind of like a quiet, grumpy dude in general, and I'm like an outgoing, bubbly person, and it was easy to project ourselves onto Carl and Ellie. And so that might be part of what gives me a bias, but even without all of that, like... That relationship is what, that kind of love is what Carl and I aim for. And I think we've been achieving it. You're making fun of me. No, but I mean,
no, like, that's great.
That, they literally told the most beautiful love story ever in 5 minutes with no dialogue. I mean, really, it's just.
No, that's like, honestly, like, you could just give me that sequence from Up. And I would be happy. Like, I think that sequence is better than the entire rest of the movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I like Up, but that sequence is my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. It could be its own short. It's a short within a full movie. I mean, it's really... It's got everything going for it. It's perfect. I had another thought to go
and
with
then
that,
they bring it. They bring it all home in the end, though, when he's looking through the book. Oh, it's just like...
Yeah. I know! And it's just like, they keep hitting you with something else. Just when you think you're calmed down, they hit you with the album. And then when you're calmed down for that, they hit you with the two chairs, like, still on the cliff. And then when you're calmed down from that, they hit you with the Ellie badge. And it's just like, oh, can you just... It's like it's like you gotta know going in. It's a marathon of emotional roller coaster. It's just
my feels is already knocked out. You don't have to keep hitting it.
You don't have to keep doing this to me.
You win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. I am excited about Peter Zohn's direction of The Good Dinosaur.
You know what? I was completely skeptical of it only because of every issue that they were having behind the scenes with the movie. And I watched the first trailer, you know, when they released the first trailer this week. I watched it and I was just like, you know what? Looks okay. I still have no idea really what this movie's about because they really haven't given you much to go on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looks like it might be alright. So, look, I hope that it does well because of all the issues that it's had. Like, I do hope that it still came out well.
Oh, did you hear about Wreck-It Ralph 2?
Oh, yeah. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming. Big Hero 7 is coming.
Yeah, we talked about this. They let out a big spoiler with Big Hero 7 when they announced it. And I was just like, I don't know how I feel about this. If
I called it in the first movie, though. I just want to reiterate.
I know. It's obvious. It's kind of obvious. But at the same time, you know, somebody dying is also a very cliche way of doing a backstory for a superhero. I mean, Bruce Wayne, Superman, Spider-Man.
There's only so many, like, bad things that can happen to people that make them want to go, you know, protect others.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's just, some people don't need death in the family to motivate them to do good things. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Like, so speaking of death of the family, I don't know why this reminded me of it, but apparently, on the day that we're recording this, it's National, like, Parents Day, right? And
I love you, Mom and Dad!
I don't know why I found this funny when I first saw it, but I originally saw, like, I was led on that this was Parents Day by Disney, and, like, I'm, like, following one of their Disney things on Facebook, and it was like, hey, today's National Parents Day, and it's showing, like, a bunch of the characters from the Disney movies with their parents, and I'm just like, I think I'm laughing.
Half of them are dead.
Kind of ironic, Disney. That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found it funny because we were always knocking on Disney because it's like, you know, what do you got against parents, Disney? Why you keep killing them? Where are they?
Yeah. Well, being an orphan automatically makes you sympathetic to them, which is, I mean, it's a tool to get you to connect with the characters quickly. Mm. But. Yeah, it would be nice to...
I just thought it was a little funny.
...have some parents. Well, one of the things, too, one of my beefs with the announcement of Big Hero 7 is that it feels like they're doing the same thing in the sequel that they did in the first one. Someone we thought was dead is coming back, and he's the villain now. It's the exact...
I mean...
Like, I'm interested to see how they do it.
Yeah, I mean,
but I hope
not going to be that big in the movie, like, what else is going to happen in this movie?
Yeah, yeah, if they've already announced that big arc, there's got to be something different. But I hope that when that movie comes out, that the first thing Hero does when he sees his brother is punch him. Be like, that's for making me feel like crap and grieving you for a whole year when you could have just come home.
Yeah.
You jerk. You jerk. Actually, I would be saying a lot less friendly things than that, but it would definitely be like a big punch in the face. Be like, I am so mad at you, and then I'd hug him and be like, don't you ever scare me like that again. So I have a question for you, like, about the feels.
Okay.
Do you ever feel feels when Bambi's mother dies?
To be honest, along with Dumbo, like, I have to go back and rewatch it. Like, I've only seen it as a kid, so I don't remember.
Because Bambi's not one of my favorites. Bambi's mom gets shot, like, at the very beginning. Like, you have no... Like, you feel bad for Bambi, but I don't know, it didn't...
Didn't hit the feels.
It didn't. And I feel like a horrible person, because everybody's like, you probably didn't cry when Bambi's mom died. They say that to people who are heartless.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't cry when Bambi's mom dies, but I cry at everything else. Like, Fox and the Hound... Like, even, like, it just makes me so sad. Because even as an adult, I'm like, there's no reason they can't be friends. Why are we teaching children about racism? Why are we doing this? And it's like, one thing about getting older that tends to ruin some movies is that you start to see some of the meanings behind it. Like, I used to love The Fox and the Hound, and now I watch it, and I'm like, this is teaching children about segregation. And that you really can't be friends with different races. And I was like, that's an awful lesson to teach each other. Like, it's actually even just showing you that racism is a learned thing, because they're naturally friends to each other, and then they're taught to hate each other. And it's just like, this is stupid. This makes me so mad. I was like, why can't they just be friends?
Why can't they be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Sorry.
For whatever reason, I was confusing that with, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. Yeah, you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby. Yeah, that song. For whatever reason, I was like, wait, that's not the same song.
That's not the same song.
It took me a second to catch on.
That should be another podcast one day. We just absolutely balls to the walls start singing on the podcast.
We should have an animation karaoke.
Oh my gosh.
I'll smoke you, homie.
No, you will. I'm not even going to argue.
I'll drop my mic and everything. Because those are my shower songs. Like, my mom was teasing me because I was spending the night at her house and she heard me busting it out in the shower. And she's like, that sounds really familiar, but I can't place it. So what were you singing? I was like, oh, that's Out There from Hunchback of Notre Dame. And she's like, that seems like the most obscure song you could have in your repertoire. And I was like, it's one of my favorite Disney songs. And she's just like, still, like, I know all the normal ones. And, like, my mom and I will go to nursing homes and sing together. And she's got this Disney medley. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to do it. We hadn't done it for a couple years. And we were trying to put it together. And I was, like, singing and bopping along. And she's like, how do you know all this stuff already still? And I was Animator like, because I've watched all... I was like, I've watched all these movies recently. I was like, you realize this is what I do in my spare time, right?
It's the yearly ritual. You gotta watch them all at least, like, once every year or two.
This is my jam. Yeah, I'm really excited that they're releasing Aladdin on DVD, so I can introduce my nephew to it.
I need to go watch all the old ones again. Like, I've seen them all as a kid because my mom had them all on VHS tape. Like, all of them on VHS. Mm-hmm. And now I've, like, just started recently getting all of them on DVD again. Because this is weird. Like, well, maybe not weird, but I get, like, a bunch of cartoons and movies and stuff that I've watched growing up, like Looney Tunes and Batman Beyond mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and Justice League and all these other cartoons and Dexter's Lab. And it's just like, I look at what's on TV today and I'm just like, you know what? When and if I have kids someday, I want them to grow up on what I grew up on. So I have, like, a few kids' books that I've gotten from, actually, like, I got Claire Keene's book. Her kids' book. I've got.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I've got Cameron Scott Davis's the Sleepwalker book, and it's just like these are kids' books. But A, love the art. B, like the story. C, I want to have kids someday. I want to read to them.
You know what? You know what though? Like, not all of modern animation is bad. I am a huge fan of Adventure Time.
I've tried Adventure Time, and even though, like, even my friend Aaron is, like, crazy guy, big on animation, he's just like, Nick, it was made by animators for animators. How can you not like this show? I was like, I don't like the style.
and the first episode, I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this, because they're going through, I don't know if it's the first, but it's among the first episodes. They're going on this adventure to find a jewel apple with a dog-sized elephant named Tree Trunk who has the voice of a really old lady. And they go through this whole thing, and each episode is only, like, 10 minutes long. And she goes to touch the jewel, and then instantly explodes, and that's how it ends. And then all of a sudden, credits. Just like, wait, they're not going to explain how that tiny elephant just exploded, or or how are they... Nope, they're not going to resolve this at all. We're just moving on. And, like, they just do a lot of crazy, crazy things. I don't know. It just amuses me greatly. I watch it while I'm folding laundry.
Yeah.
And the other one that I am obsessed with, and I could not sing the praises of enough, is Gravity Falls. Gravity Falls just started up again, and I cannot tell you how unbelievably happy that I am that there is a new episode, because the last one was in March. And my husband and I watched together, and it's just, I can't even explain how awesome this show is. And they even poke fun at animators. They talk about claymation, and they're like, why would anybody do this? And the response was, I don't know, it seems like something only someone would do if they really hated themselves and didn't have a better use of their time. Referring to animation. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, sometimes you fantastic. Feel that way. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, like, the mythical characters are always ridiculous. Like, in the first episode, the credits show you, like, a little gnome vomiting rainbows. I mean, can you get anything, like, more crazy and wonderful than that? I don't think you can. I really don't think you can.
A unicorn farting rainbows.
I don't know. I'm not buying it. But yeah, it's just great. And they've got like a stellar voice cast. They've got Kristen Schaal. They've got Jason Ritter.
I don't know either.
I can't remember the name of the woman's... the woman who plays Hawkeye's wife is in it as a character. The creator, Alex Hirsch, does a voice. But now they've got people like Nick Offerman and J.K. Simmons doing voices.
Hmm.
I mean, they've just got like a lot of fantastic people. And it's just like, oh, I love this show so much.
Speaking of big name people doing cartoons, I started watching Over the Garden Wall. I'm enjoying it.
I've never heard of this. What is it?
It was explained to me at one point. I can't remember who explained it to me, actually. But they're all 10-minute episodes, and it's a series on Cartoon Network. And it was pitched, and Cartoon Network was just like, you know what? We really like this, but it wouldn't work as, like, a full series. So are you cool with a miniseries? And they were like, yeah. So there's, like, 10...
Better than nothing.
Yeah, there's, like, 10 10-minute episodes, I think. Supposedly, I think it's coming back for a second season, so I guess it's a season thing now? I don't know. But, yeah, there's, like, 10 10-minute episodes, and Elijah Wood plays the older brother.
Huh.
You can immediately tell Elijah Wood is the main older brother. He's got such a recognizable voice.
I'll have to look it up and see where I can find it. Is it on Netflix?
It's not on Netflix, but you can find it online and stream it.
I tend not to illegally stream or download things.
I don't either.
Just because...
Except streaming. I'll stream something.
Yeah, I'll just buy it.
Well, it's also available on Cartoon Network, so...
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll watch it there. As long as it's not illegal. That's kind of my thing. So...
I mean, if Cartoon Network's putting it up, it's on the internet.
Yeah, then it's good. Then it's good. Then we're all good. The other show I like a lot is Bob's Burgers. Have you ever checked out Bob's Burgers?
Okay, I have watched Bob's Burgers. I definitely do still watch Bob's Burgers. I think it started off better. I think it started off better. I feel like it's slacked a little bit recently, but I do enjoy watching Bob's Burgers still.
Tina is a role model I wish existed when I was going through puberty. That girl is like... feminist and such a role model, and like her obsession with butts, I can relate with. That struggle is real.
So her voice
and kissing
actor,
boys.
Her voice actor actually appeared on the John Mulaney show, and I was watching it, and Mulaney opens the door and the voice actor's there, and it's a guy. Like, obviously it's a guy doing that voice.
Yeah.
I kid you not, this guy is not acting when he's playing Tina. Unless that's just, like, his all-time role. Like, he opened the door, and the guy was like, hi. And I was like, oh my god. Like, he said one word, and I was like, that's Tina. Like, I was like, bam, that's her. Like, that's absolutely her. And, like, kept talking, and I was just like, oh my god. Like, I'm seeing Tina make these words right now. Like, what is this?
Somebody made a supercut of all the times she's just moaning. And you want to know how to really annoy my mother? Just like when she asks you a question, just go.
That's pretty great.
She gets like really uncomfortable. What the hell is this? Like, she'll just freak out and be like, will you knock that off?
I bet you I could do the same thing to my mom and she'll just be like, what are you doing?
I was like, where was this when I was living with her all the time and, you know, wanted to find ways to annoy her? I was a good kid. Okay, I got good grades, I was very obedient.
Okay.
I didn't do drugs, I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do anything. I was always home by curfew. Like, I was a good kid.
And then you went to
college. There were little things... True story. There were little things I would do just to annoy her, and it would crack my dad up because they weren't troublesome, but like I had this skirt she hated, so it became my favorite skirt and I'd wear it all the time. It was like a floor length hippie skirt with ruffles and like multicolored. She hated it so much because she thought it was ugly. wore it every time we went out to dinner as a family. Just because it was something I could do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, like,
what are you gonna do, Mom? You gonna ground me for wearing clothes?
What's yeah,
the time, Mom?
Yeah.
What you gonna
look
do?
How conservative this skirt is, and she used to hate it. And like one time, she came up to visit me in college, and we were gonna go see Into the Woods at the theater department was putting on a production, so we were gonna see it together. And I came out of my apartment wearing the skirt. She goes, "Nope, nope, you are going to have to change. I drove 2 hours to get here. Nope, nope, nope." And so I did, but. Yeah, she just really hated it. I was thinking about making a pillow out of it for her. But I used to hide it because I knew that if I, like, left it in the laundry room with the rest of the clothes...
It'd be gone.
Didn't do my own laundry. Yep, she'd throw it away in a heartbeat. I still have it. I think I'm going to make her, like, a pillow out of it.
You totally should.
Give it to her for Christmas. And be like, you can hug this when you miss me.
I get blamed for my brother being the wise butt that he is now. Because, like, you know, my brother grew up, you know, kind of shadowing me. So he picked up a lot of the things that I would do. And I'm a very sarcastic person by nature. But the difference between me being sarcastic and my brother being sarcastic is we know where the line is, where it's just like, okay, don't cross this line.
I'm going too far.
I get to the line and don't cross it. My brother sees the line and gladly steps over it all the time.
Like we were, I see you a line. I'm just going to jump over it now.
One of my favorite times that my brother has ever said something is my mom had picked us up from school and she was like, I'm really hungry. So she took us over to 2J's and we're sitting there and mom hadn't eaten anything all day. And the waitress brings out the drinks. And my mom she gets her Pepsi, and it just, like, it's gone in, like, one swig. The whole thing's gone, right? And then she just goes, ow, brain freeze. Not even missing a beat. My brother doesn't even look up from what he's doing and just goes, Mom, you can't freeze what's not there.
Ooh! Ooh, did she need some aloe vera for that sick
burn? I was
burn?
Just like... I was sitting next to my brother. I got up, walked to the other side, and sat in the booth with my mom, and I was just like, I am not affiliated with him at all. That was brilliant. I had nothing to do with this.
Oh, yeah.
So, to this day, yeah, we use that one.
We get a little bit meaner with our jokes in my family. Like, sometimes Carl doesn't know how to deal when they get directed at him, and I'm like, dude, just fight back. That's how you survive here. You fight back. If you don't fight back, you're easy prey and we'll all gang up on you, dude. So you've got to, like, even I can't help you because I'll join in. It's like, join in or be harassed in my family. It's a mob mentality.
You're either with us, like, or at our will.
Like, I think my mom makes it so easy to pick on her, so we'll all gang up on her instead of on each other. I think she's just a mastermind at the core of it. Yeah, but even though we don't get too mean, but she'll laugh because she likes the attention and the jokes we tell. Like, Mother's Day becomes stories of that she hates, like mothering example she's ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Like the Oregon Trail story I told you guys.
Yep.
Like on our first podcast. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, why are you gonna tell examples of how I'm a bad mother? And I was like, because there's so few of them, we enjoy them, that's why.
You gotta give us, like, the moments that we have, Mom.
Yeah, these that's are, like, the funny moments.
Yeah, like, I love some of my mom's stories, so, like, whenever she's over at, like, family dinner, I'm like, oh, like, because she has dinner with my roommates whenever she comes to visit, and we all sit down, and we cook and everything, and I'm just like, oh, Mom, you gotta tell them the story about blah, 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 because it's just not the same when I tell them. And then she's just like, I'm not telling them that story. I was like, you gotta tell them that story. And then she's like, I'll tell him the story. And then she goes into the story. And, like, we're all...
She doesn't take much, like, much coercion.
No, it doesn't take much to coerce her. She's just like, okay.
You know what my dad does? And what he's always done? He'll start a story, and then he'll stop. And he'll check the room to see if my mother's within earshot. and then he'll tell us the rest of the story. Because it either involves her and it's really embarrassing, or it's something he's done that she knows she'll be mad we know about. Because she's afraid that, and she's justifiably afraid, because we did kind of see some of my dad's stories as a dare of how we could do it better. I don't know why I keep getting unmuted or muted. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
it keeps muting me for whatever reason.
That was weird.
Are you doing it? You're muting me, aren't you?
You're going
out again. You're doing this to me.
Huh?
You're doing this to me, aren't you?
I can't mute you.
Yes, you can. I can mute you, I think.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, look. I just muted you.
Oh, that's awesome!
For those of you who don't know, we do this over Google Hangouts.
That's
and
great.
This whole time, just suddenly, like, it's been muting me. And I'm like, why does he keep doing this to me?
Oh, it's not me, but you can guarantee, like, I might do this in the future, knowing that I can now.
Great. Great. Anyway. The trolling shall begin. All right, well, this has been a fun chat.
Are you going to finish the story? I didn't hear the end of it.
What story?
I don't know. Something? I don't know. Never mind.
About how my dad checks the room for my mom?
I guess that story was done.
Before he tells us anything fun. And he'll start a story, and he's been doing this for years. You know what? I can't tell you that story. And then he'll move on to something else, and I'm like, stories are amazing. You can't do this to me. I was like, if nothing else, Dad, take a video recorder into a room, record the story on a video, and then give it to the lawyer so that it can happen. Because his excuse is, if your mother finds out I told you this, she'll kill me. It's like, she can't kill you when you're dead, but we need to hear this story. And so, write it down, do something.
Another
but
spot
yeah, he's
on
always
the
checking. Yeah, he's always checking the room for my mom before he tells us the good
stuff.
It's
like, whenever you see him lean over and look around the room, that's when you kind of lean in closer to get the good stuff.
And he grins. He gets this, like, boyish grin. He's like, I'm going to tell you something that shouldn't. Like, he told us all sorts of dirty jokes when we were kids that we would go and repeat in school because we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And my dad was a traveling salesman, so he'd be out on the road when my mom got the phone call, do you know what your children said today? And she'd be like, oh, gosh, my husband. My husband is the worst. He's so... Well, on that lovely note, happy Parents' Day, Mom and Dad. All right, well, I think that's about time for us. We'd love to hear from you about your animation sequences that hit your feels. There's a lot more that we didn't even get to discuss. But, and I mean, just let us know what you think, what makes you angry, what makes you sad, what makes you nostalgic. We'd love to hear it all. You can email us at theanimatorlifepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. You can contact us anyway. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Ellie Augsburger with The Animator Life.
And this is Nick.
And keep living the animator life.
Yeah!
I'm going to edit that out and put in, like, Mariah Carey doing it instead.
That's fine. You should start doing that, and the people will just be like, oh my god, can Nick do these voices? It's like, that's awesome!